You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Are you still subscribing to the Sacramento Bee? And do you get the paper version, or do you have a digital subscription? You probably have followed the news about the layoffs, the departures at the Bee this past April. They all prompted talk that someday there won't be a paper in Sacramento, and that the future of the once mighty McClatchy Publishing Company is more uncertain than it's ever been. Freelance reporter Alan Young broke the news of the Bee's layoffs this spring, and this month he has a cover story in Comstock's magazine. It's about the change McClatchy is undergoing. Hi, Alan.
Hey,
always
Beth,
a pleasure
thanks for having
to have
me.
You here on Insight. So change doesn't seem to be an adequate word for what's going on. Am I right about that?
Yeah, change to put it lightly. So the best way to think about what's going on with McClatchy is they are transforming from a newspaper company to a high-tech company. They're in this cocoon stage right now, and it's coming at a time when they've lost 60% of their revenue since 2007, 60%. The SAC B newsroom is down 63% since 2006. So right now they're trying this digital pivot, and it's coming at a time when they are, a shell of what they used to be.
Say a bit more about the scope of the layoffs and the departures at the B, for example. Do you have numbers for what it was at its peak and what it is now?
I don't have the number in front of me for what it was at its peak, but after the Knight Ridder purchase, and this was the purchase that McClatchy really tried to step into, change American journalism, the history of American journalism, by becoming one of the largest newspaper chains in the country. They made that purchase in 2008, and after that, the economy tanked, and they had their first major round of layoffs, which was like over 1,000. And since then, there's been kind of aftershocks since then. And this latest round of layoffs was 23 people from the overall editorial desk. But that comes a year after another dozen reporters were laid off. So really the Bee, and anyone that gets the Bee, can see that the paper is getting smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And the staff is getting smaller and smaller.
So Knight Ridder published the Mercury News, the Contra Costa Times, 30 other daily papers. And I'm taking from your article here that the sale marked the second largest takeover in U.S. newspaper history. So McClatchy's final bid was $4.5 billion. It tripled McClatchy's revenue, but it also saddled it with debt. And the number of people who have been laid off, the journalists have said, that factor alone is the most significant in this. But you can't discount the fact that the newspaper, the print industry overall, has shifted dramatically with Google and Facebook. And I think that's where you're getting to in terms of the revenue change, correct?
Yeah. So the economics can get kind of complicated, but the easiest way to understand it is, when was the last time that you went to the newspaper to find a new car? Or to shop for a pair of shoes. This is what people used to do. But Google and Facebook collectively have taken over 60% of the ad revenue that used to go to newspapers. And newspapers can't compete. These are regional companies, and they're competing with these global companies that can sell ads to retailers like car dealers and like shoe dealers for far cheaper. Over the last 10 years, that would explain this decimation of newspapers. Now, newspapers have suffered major competition before. In the 1920s, it was radio, and newspapers were afraid of that. In the 1950s, it was TV. But without a doubt, this onslaught from Google and Facebook primarily cast newspapers in the biggest competitive assault of their existence.
We're talking around a very important point, and that is that you think of companies like McClatchy as the home base for journalism. But in fact, those companies grew and thrived on a business model that made them really about retail advertisement.
Yeah, I mean, they were just like people say that McDonald's, yes, it's a fast food company, but it's really a real estate company. That's the kind of more secretive way that they make all their money. Newspapers were a delivery service for advertisements, and they had a kind of oligopoly in the U.S. because retailers didn't have a lot of options for where they were going to go. Now you can create, you know, Google keywords and targeted Facebook ads. And to McClatchy's credit, they are getting in on some of this now. They're studying user habits the way that other tech firms do to try to stop the bleeding and grow again. But again, it's a regional company. These are regional companies. And to compete with a global firm is really difficult. And newspapers have another job to do. They've got this whole public service mission that the tech companies don't have.
So there is the journalism side of it. And I think that is the biggest concern, is if Sacramento or any other major city, any city at all, loses its paper of record, it loses some of the documentation, the reporting, the accountability that happens in a community. And it's widely known that McClatchy has been laying off veteran reporters. Who is it hiring then in its place?
Right. So McClatchy has been laying off some of its veteran reporters. Sacramento Bee, as we mentioned recently, laid off some of its veteran reporters. They are hiring younger reporters that are cheaper, and they're hiring technologists to get into VR, virtual reality, and augmented reality. This is the new wave of digital media. We know this. Virtual reality and augmented reality are projected to grow by 100% for the next 4 years. We're seeing Silicon Valley rush into these mediums. And for people that track newspapers, they note with some grievance that newspapers were behind the curve on getting in front of these technological innovations like search engines, like social media, you know, where we go now for what is now Facebook and pictures for Instagram. Newspapers have not gotten in front of this.
It seems like newspapers' rise, though, to its peak revenue kind of was coinciding with the emergence of virtual reality and the digital world. And so their eyes were on their growth at the time and not focused so much on the future. So was there a disconnect at that point?
Well, I think the best way to think of the disconnect for McClatchy is that they've been trying to innovate for the last 10 years, but they've been saddled with this debt because they bought Knight Ridder and they became one of the nation's largest newspaper chains. But the economy tanked, and it's hard to innovate when you are focused on paying off your debt. And that's why they've been seeing cuts. So right now, they have opened this New Ventures Lab. That's their innovation incubator for video and audio augmented reality in downtown Sacramento. And it's exciting. The analyst that I spoke with said, yeah, I mean, they would be remiss to not do this. This is definitely not a dumb idea, right? The question is, do you see it as a glass half full? Is this can really enhance the journalism and bring in new sets of eyeballs? For instance, just hypothetical example, right now when the Bee covers the proposed Sacramento streetcar, they will do a print piece on the streetcar, and then reporter Tony Bijak has done a video on another streetcar, successful streetcar elsewhere. Well, imagine being able to hold up your phone and seeing a computer-generated streetcar rolling down K Street, giving the viewer a whole new sense of what that project could be. You know, McClatchy has done all kinds of innovative projects around this, and the medium is being used to talk about human rights abuses. And
print piece, would a written piece go along with that?
McClatchy does not want to get rid of its trenchant public interest reporting, but and they say this new world will enhance the journalism. Some of the old school kind of journalistic purists saying, yeah, but at the same time, you're cutting veteran staff with institutional knowledge to bring on these new people. And there's a public service role that McClatchy and the Bee have traditionally had over its 160-year history. And will that be diminished, at least, if resources are going into something else?
Where is that connection with the people in your community who know your community? You know, the human connection, that body of knowledge that the reporters had from spending decades in a community, knowing sources. I think it's so hard to think that won't continue to have a place. It's something like valuing the wisdom of your elders, perhaps.
Well, so if the Bee were to go away, and we don't know that that's going to happen in our lifetime. It could happen in a few years. It could happen in a decade. It could be around another 160 years. But at some point, something will replace the Sacramento Bee. The question is, will that entity have the same public service mission? Will they be able to not prioritize profits to the extent that they're serving the public need? Mm. You know, there are other outlets. Capital Public Radio is doing great work here, but there's something to be said about a newspaper of record. A newspaper of record really has two missions in a community. One is to help people understand how society is being built up around them and how individuals can participate and influence that buildup. And the other is to hold leaders accountable. The first mission, if you want to be charitable, you could argue, could be taken care of by social media. If everyone is tweeting all the time, every time there's a shooting or a protest or at a public meeting, that is a way to stay informed. It's just taking the journalist out of the equation. The second mission, though, holding leaders accountable. What happens when there's these backroom deals? What happens when no one is out there tweeting or saying anything public about that? What happens when a newspaper leaves a community? One of the best recent case studies in this is what happened with the city of Bell in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So Bell was in one of the poorest cities in LA County. They had a newspaper, the Industrial Post, that went under in the late 90s. And in 2005, there's a city administrator, Robert Rizzo, helped pass this measure that took the limits off of what city administrators and city officials could pay themselves, right? No one was covering this. The measure passed by 336 votes in a community of 30,000 people. By the time the LA Times caught up to the story in 2010, Rizzo was making $1.5 million a year at a time when the recession was at its apex, right? There wasn't a journalist covering City Hall in Bell. And every time a newspaper cuts their staff, there's less people to cover school board hearings and water rights hearings and legislative and city committees and subcommittees. So as McClatchy enters into this brave new world of digital journalism, there's that question, will they have the resources to be a public watchdog?
But when the LA Times did catch up to it, their reporting was awarded prizes, including, I believe, a Pulitzer Prize, because then there was a public record and an accounting of what happened. And of course, the Bell story then became public. Then there was prosecution and consequence after that. I do have to say that every time we lay out one fact about what's happening, there's sort of the counterfact, because we're in these two worlds right now. And the newspaper circulation has fallen by more than 52%. You write that in your article. At the same time, the number of visitors to the website has grown. Digital circulation is up almost 200%, certainly from a decade ago. So I think that it's just when the lines intersect, how fast might the company grow at this rate? Because the tech world, the tech industry, and so many industries is growing rapidly.
Yeah. What I think is important to remember is that one can't take the function of newspapers for granted. I say the function of newspapers because we don't know how long newspapers will be around. People at the highest levels of this industry aren't expecting a resurgence of newspapers, right? But there really is this responsibility on the public to find out what you care about as far as news and how you're going to get it. You know, in the face of all this destruction of newspapers, one might draw some optimism from what happened with food, the farm to fork movement. Mm. This is a comparison drawn by Franklin Foyer of The Atlantic. So there was obviously major problems in the food supply chain. And we started getting a lot of outreach, a lot of documentaries and books about what was going on, and how it was causing problems with individuals, right? Mm. And all of a sudden, farming became cool again. Farmers markets became cool again. Eating local became cool again. And the food advocates started saying, get to know your local farmer. I think if you're a news advocate, the message is, get to know your local journalist. There's people doing great work.
I can hear them right now saying, but we don't have jobs. Right. A lot of us are great local journalists. We just don't have a landing spot right now.
It's true. People are really struggling. That said, there's great work going on in this town. You guys at Capital Public Radio are doing great work. The Bee, you know, for this tumult that it's in, has reporters that are working every day really hard to put out great journalism. Comstock's Magazine, Sacramento Business Journal, Sacramento News and Review, the three TV, big TV networks. Get to know these individual reporters. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. And let them know how stories that they're missing. Let them know facts that they missed, other stuff going on. You know, it, to me, journalism is like democracy. It only works properly if everyone is paying attention.
The doorway is wide open for entities that can be the voice of record. And certainly here in radio, I will say that we're thinking more than ever before about being that daily voice and having the agenda for covering the daily news in a different, more aggressive way. I hope that we get to a good place. In your food analogy, where we're getting to is power in the hands of the people for what we take in, what we eat, and what we enjoy. And I hope you're right. I hope that the same thing happens with journalism in the many ways that we can get it.
I do. Yeah.
Amen.
You. Yeah.
That's an amen.
Yeah.
All right, Alan. Thanks so much. We are going to post a link to your article in Comstocks, also a link to your website so people can see the freelance work that you've been doing and the number of stories you've been covering.
That's great. Yeah. Comstocks is available at Barnes & Noble and Nugget, and it's comstocksmag.com. The story I wrote, it looks at the past, present, and future of McClatchy and the Sacramento Bee. It really was this American staple. You know, I'll just finish with this. In its prime, if you lived anywhere in California off the coast, the Bee was where you received your news. You know, it was, I write that the internet was delivered to your doorstep every day, and it came in the form of the Sacramento Bee. It was available from the Oregon border to San Diego border or Mexico border. So no matter what happens with McClatchy and the Bee, I think it's important to look at this Sacramento company that's almost as old as the city itself that rose to become one of the nation's largest newspaper chains and to bookend that American staple.
You wrote, love it or hate it, the Bee was fundamental to the California experience. For now, it still is. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
That is freelance reporter Alan Young, and you can find the links, as we've just discussed, at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.